And once again, we're in Colossians. We're going to finish it up. And I think it finishes the Sunday school book. There'll be new ones, I reckon. They're here somewhere.
Okay.
But we're going to finish up Colossians. And before we get started, we'll open up in prayer. Father, again, we thank you for another time that we can come and study your word. And we thank you, Lord, for the hope that it gives us. And dear God, we just pray that you'll help us to share it to a lost and dying world. We ask, Lord, to be with the services today and the many needs that you know about. And help me, Lord, to teach and not mess anything up. And forgive us, Lord, of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, I'm going to recap a little bit. Paul is in prison, and he has written a letter to Colossae. Colossae, a little infant church, if you will, but Paul has heard things of them, and evidently he's heard them from Epaphras. I could pronounce that this morning, can't pronounce it now. Epaphras? What? Epaphras, I think. Epaphras. Okay. And Epaphras has heard Paul preach probably somewhere, and he has gotten saved, and he has gone back to his hometown, or the region of his hometown, and he has now returned back to Paul, and Paul has got a report on what he's done since he's got saved, and he's telling him about his churches there. And in chapter 1 of Colossians, you get this letter from Paul to them saying, I've heard of your faith, my brothers. He's talking to them. And it's important that he gets a letter out to them, because there again, we've got to go back. We don't have any media back then. We don't have any televisions. We don't have any radios. We don't have iPhones. We don't have nothing. But we have word of mouth. And that word of mouth, if we will, let's go real quick into Matthew 28. Real quick. And basically, what Jesus has wanted done is getting done. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So here the Great Commission has been given. And Paul is doing what he's supposed to. It's given from Jesus, literally given to Paul as a disciple. Now it's given down to a believer, Epaphras. And Epaphras is going and he's teaching and he's giving it to Colossae. And he's also giving it to that place 10 miles away, Laodicea. And then we talked last time how that Laodicea had banks and it had eye salve. And so it was known for its medicine and it was known for its money. And this was a rich place to be. This was the place to be. And those people thought they had something because they were in this area. They were living in the $100,000 houses or the $1 million houses, let's say. But little Colossae, it's 10 miles away and it doesn't have all that traffic. So it's just got a little bit. So it's like they're lacking in something, but at the same time, in a way, the way that Paul addresses them in chapter 1, he's saying, hey, you've got riches. You just don't know it. And later on, and we talked about how in Revelations 3:20, I believe it is, Jesus is talking to the Laodicea, telling them, you think you're rich, you're not. So that being said, all they had was the gospel. They didn't have a complete Bible. It's back in times, but the Bible hasn't been bound yet. When they got a letter, more than likely, it would be presented at the church. Somebody would be able to take care of that letter. And then if they wanted to, much like it is in other countries right now, where they take a Bible and they literally tear the pages out of it, and then they'll, like in China or North Korea, they'll have just pages of the Bible tore out. And everybody will have a page. And then they'll swap it up. See, because it's so precious. They know that it's precious whenever they get something. So Paul has written them a letter. Not a complete Bible, but just a letter. So not only have they heard the gospel and believed, which when we go into Matthew 28, let me go back there just a second, and then we'll get into it. Matthew 20, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Christ says, I am supreme. And the power of the Supreme One, it says here, that he's going to give to his believers. So Colossae has heard the gospel, and they know that there's something special about it, but at the same time, this being in its infancy, they haven't got the whole picture, but Paul is explaining it to them. And it says here, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, the gospel, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, not only get them saved, but teach them how to live. And I think that's where modern Christianity has messed up. We put too much emphasis on salvation, and it's like, you know what, I've caught the fish, I'm just going to throw him in the freezer, rather than doing something with the fish. Christianity has put more value on numbers and then not teaching them anything, not teaching them how to live. And that's what we're going to get into here in just a minute, but I'm just putting our thing. And whatsoever things I have commanded you, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. So everything is Jesus's. He wants us to teach others about him, the gospel, how to get saved, and also how to live. And we have his power, his authority. And we are rich in that. Do you realize if I worked for a king in those days, that if I had the king's ring or the imprint of the king's ring on a piece of paper, that would give me the word of the king, the authority of the king. If I told you I wanted something done, you'd say, who are you? I'd say, I'm Larry Jones. Well, I don't know who Larry Jones is. Oh, do you know this? Do you see that? That's my name, and that's his signet. We have that same thing. God has given us this great commission. He has given us his word, all power, all authority. And yet, what does Larry Jones do with it? Larry Jones is guilty of living in this world, in this flesh, and not acting like a Christian. We're going to get into that in just a minute. So what I'm thinking about, or what I'm trying to get us to, we've got a letter that more than likely is copied. Not a complete Bible. They think they're poor, but at the same time, they're really rich, but they don't know it yet. They don't understand the authority. And when they pick up the authority, they don't know what to do with it. They know about the gospel, and they're sharing it with the gospel, and Paul talks about that in chapter 1. But at the same time, they've got a little problem with who they are, and Paul's straightening that out. Now, getting into the lesson. Colossians 3. Let's go back here. In verse 8. The lesson starts in 12, but I want us to go here. Colossians 3, verse 8. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. I'm going to stop right there. He's saying now, you're saved, you've got all power and authority, but you know what? If I show up and I've got the king's, what the king wants done, and these are his instructions, and he has given me this authority, and it says, this is what I want done, I want Larry Jones to do it, and there is my signature. There's my signet. There's my authority. I can go anywhere in the king's land, and this is gold. How is it going to look if I show up drunk? And I'm saying, hey, I'm here to do the king's work. Or I show up and I have a speech about me that I don't need to have. And I'm coming to you in the authority of the king. What do they think of the king? Now, the word and the authority is the same. It is all power. And this is, you know, the king's word is pure. It's law. But their thought of what that is, they're looking at me. The Bible says we're not of this world anymore. We're ambassadors for Christ. If I'm an ambassador for the United States of America and I go to Egypt and they say, Larry, what do you think about this? You know what I'm going to tell them? I'm going to say, well, this is what I think. And you know what's going to happen? I'm going to get fired. You know why? Because that's not my job. My job is not to tell you what I think as an ambassador for the United States of America. My job is to tell you what the United States of America thinks. And the United States of America thinks this. And this is what the United States of America wants you to do. That's being an ambassador. That's what we're to be. And we're to represent ourselves as ambassadors when we have a letter from the king. They have got a letter from Paul, and Paul is teaching them now how to use their ambassadorship. What to put off. To be an ambassador, to be Christ-like, to take this great commission and go forth into the world, you have got to put off all of these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filth communications out of your life, out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. So now we've taken off the Larry Jones clothes and we've put on the Christ ambassadorship clothes. Okay? Got that? I've done it when I accepted him and believed in the gospel. I have become a Christian. And that's happened on the inside, and I got, and God works on me, and I work against God too many times. But what I'm getting at is we grow in Christ. But at the same time, we live in this world. And I don't know if y'all hadn't got to see me at the end of a work day. I run an oil truck and a grease truck. I'm called an oiler, and I lube and grease and operate heavy equipment. And I look like a little mud puppy at the end of the day. And I drove Megan's car today because my pitiful little car, I was afraid to get my tan church clothes and get grease on them. So what I'm getting at is I live in a filthy place, but my heart don't have to be filthy. And I can, at the end of the day, take that off. I have to take my Larry Jones clothes off every morning because I live in this flesh. I know how wicked Larry Jones is. You have to put off the old man, the anger, the malice, the wrath, the blasphemy, filthy communications, lying. Put off the old man. Verse 10 says, and having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's how we renew. We feed the new man. We feed him on the Word of God. Listen, if you felt, I know that the sin that so easily besets me, and you can put your name there, your sin, my sin, it's all sin, it's all different sin, but it's the same thing. I know when I'm slipping. I have caught myself time after time putting on Larry Jones clothes. No, I'm gonna put the I'm buttoning up the Larry Jones clothes. I'm going there. But there's usually a little bitty voice in me. And most of the times it's that verse. Thy word. Get in here. Take that Larry Jones coat off before you go somewhere you don't need to go. You're an ambassador for him. Act like it, Larry. So, the new man, which is renewed, which means it's not something that lasts. My salvation lasts eternally. My ambassadorship is just like me getting on that oil truck. At the beginning of every day, I start out with a brand new, I got a crisp
fresh uniform on, but it's got some stains on it from the day before. At the end of that day, Tom, what'd you do with your Caterpillar stuff? You'd throw it in the floor when you got done at the end of the day when you was a mechanic, didn't you? It got nasty working on heavy equipment, didn't it? Start out every morning with a brand new uniform, but what happens by noon? The hardest part of going to work is if I take a shower in the morning and go to work, I don't want to get in the grease and oil the rest of the day. But if I take my shower the night before and I get up and just wash my face and go to work, I'm a little more apt to jump right in and grab a grease gun, you see. So where I'm coming with all this is my uniform gets dirty. My flesh lives in this world. It's going to get dirty. But you renew. It's not brand new. It's a brand new day. But the flesh it's going to get dirty by the end of the day. And how do you clean it up during the day? You renew it. On my truck, when I get done greasing, I'll get some stuff, I wash my hands. Because I don't want to get on my steering wheel. Because I don't want to get on my gear shift. Because I don't want to get it on my coat. You see what I mean? But don't watch out. I'm going to go in the office. I'm going to handle some stuff. And I'll have grease on me. We got to do the same thing with our spiritual life, our ambassadorship. We got to take, when we get that grease of the world on our hands, you know what we need to do? We don't need to wait till tomorrow when I put on a new clean uniform. We need to wash it off right then. Lord, forgive me of what I don't know where that come from, Lord, but Lord, I need help. It's 8:30 and I've done messed up 6-8 times. You know? Maybe sometimes we just gotta go. Larry's gotta go do it. Larry's gotta go, Lord, I need to start over here. I get a thought, you know, remember how it says think on these things, you know, the good, the peaceful, the loving, and all that. Sometimes I don't think that way. And sometimes I have to catch myself, and I have to go think about that. Put off the old man. Renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Got to act like who we represent. His image is spotless. I need to get as close to spotless as I can with my flesh so that whenever I represent him, he doesn't look worthless like me. It says here in verse 12, now we're going to start the lesson. Verse 12, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels and mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearance one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is in the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with the grace in your hearts to the Lord. It says here, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved. I want to try to get back here. Now, number one, okay, so. Put on, therefore. Take off all these things, Larry. The dirty uniform, time for a clean uniform today. Take all the bad things off. Now, to represent him in our ambassadorship, our walk as a Christian, we can't stand there naked. We've got to put something on. People are going to see us. So we have to put on. As it says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God. He has foreordained that we be in his image. And to get us into his image, he has provided salvation, justification, one day glorification. He has done everything with his power to make it to where we can represent him. He has not, remember, he's given us all his power.
And he is equipping us. And he will equip us if we will put it on. It says here, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. You are special to him. I am special. I don't know how. I don't know how anything as worthless as Larry Jones can be special to him. But it is. I don't know how. He is saying he's elected me to be in his image, to do his will, to be his ambassador. And therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on bowels of mercies, bowls of mercies. I'm to be merciful. That means I'm not to be quick-tempered. I'm not to be mean or evil to people. Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Listen, I see enough of just the opposite every day in the world. It's easy for me to backbite against somebody. And there again, those of you that work out in the public or work with other people, you know what I'm talking about. You get outside the doors of church, you get outside the fellowship of Christian people, and you get out there in the world, and guess what? It's different. It's a whole lot different. We'll stand out as we're his ambassador. We will look different than the world. I remember one of the wickedest men I ever knew. I went to see him when he was dying. And Brother George, where's George at? Is he teaching? He's up there. George, you up there? Anyway, the Lord took him. He's gone. That's what it is. He's in there on bed. That's why he does it. No, but that man said, Larry, I knew something was different about you. And I was not that great a Christian. But he was that wicked a man and around that much wickedness that just a little bit of what light I was able to show, he knew I was different. Imagine what you could do if you had a great light in you. And you do have a great light. If you'll take off those things the old man put the new man's things on, we can shine forth his light, his image. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. We're going to get into that in just a minute, but we're going to touch it right now. Number one, Christ, God chose me that is worthless. And you can put your name there too. He chose us who is worthless, who had sinned against him. And he chose a price to pay for our redemption. He could have named any price he wanted to because he was dealing with himself. He was going to buy us back when we fell. The price that he negotiated with himself was the greatest price he could give. Y'all follow me? I don't think I'm doing anything wrong here, but you say, if there's a price to be paid for Larry Jones, what's it worth? Well, I'm telling you, it ain't worth nothing. Matter of fact, I'd look at me and say, see ya. I've been in business. I know good deals. I know bad deals. And I've walked away from a whole lot more than I've ever made. And some of them I made, I wished I never had. But every now and then there was a good deal. But here's what I'm saying. God so loved the world that he paid the highest price possible for something that was not worth anything. That makes sense? That's salvation, isn't it? Okay. Verse 13. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. I sinned against Christ. I needed someone to pay for my sins. So I cried out to him. Brother R. did a sermon, I think it was Sunday, last Sunday, on the things that Jesus had borrowed. Borrowed everything. Y'all here last week, heard that one? It was a real good one. I loved it. That he borrowed the donkey to ride in to the city. He needed money to pay for the temple tithes, so he borrowed it from a fish's mouth. You know, and he borrowed, he had a list of things that he borrowed, but the only thing that Christ ever bought
was our redemption.
It's the only thing he owned. And if you look, let's go back into Colossians 1. Colossians 1. Let me find it here. Verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross by him. And I want you to look at this. Now, this is my personal Bible study, and I hope you all have your own. To reconcile all things unto himself by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Now, that in itself is big enough, but let's do this. Jesus bought my sin. Jesus bought your sin. Now, if Brother Bradley steals from me, I'm going to beat him up. No, I can't do that. I've got to forgive him. Now, the forgiveness part is very, very difficult. Been there, and listen, every time you have to forgive, it's hard, but if you ever once do it, It's so easy to forgive the second time. It's easier to forgive the third time. It's easier to forgive because you learned forgiveness. There's a time I didn't have forgiveness. There was a time when it was hard for me to forgive. And if you don't forgive, it just keeps building up, and it gets ugly. Settle that to say this. If Brother Bradley steals from me, I'm going to forgive him. You know why? Because it wasn't mine anyway. Christ reconciled all things to himself. All things to himself. He is supreme. He left heaven, came here, got poor, became rich whenever he went back to heaven because he had the ability to take you and I with him. He come and bought what he wanted. That was us. But he bought my sin too. Because you see, I can't take my sin into heaven. That's why he had to come. He had to atone. The sin, if Brother Bradley steals $20 from me, and I forgive him. Why? Because he has to answer to Jesus who owns the sin. You see, Christ bought all the sin. He bought it. He took it away from us. The sin that he sins against me isn't against me. You see, if I beat him up with a baseball bat, he'll get out of the hospital eventually. It'll be all right. But what is that in... Now, and there it goes back to these things that happen to these little children, and it says it's better for a man that a millstone be tied around his neck and thrown in the ocean. You know, we can come quick to judgment. We can be quick to not forgive. But it's saying, forgive them. Because one day, that man's going to have to kneel before a holy and mighty God who owns that sin. He has to answer to Jesus for that sin. You see what I mean? Who am I to take a baseball bat and beat him up? See, it doesn't work. Christ owned that sin. Christ paid for those sins. Those sins belong to him. And guess if my sins are forgiven, I need to forgive those sins that come against me. Why? Because if I take the baseball bat and beat him up, what kind of ambassador am I? I represent the king. I have to have... You see where I'm coming from on that? It's why I have to learn to forgive. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Completeness. Justified. We really need to look up the word perfect there, and I didn't do that because I didn't have a lot of time. But the long story is, of all that, if you just exude love, those other things, if you put these other things on, they're wonderful. But if you don't have love, those other things won't shine. Love is the battery that makes the power that makes the... Yes, that's a light. That light bulb there is burned out. That light bulb's burned out. But love is the power that lights those others up. And if you have love, those other things will shine. People will see that. We need love above all those. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want us to go there in just a second. Let's go right there. No, better than that, we'll do this. Remember me talking about the letters, how that Paul has given this letter to these people? They think they're poor. They're across the tracks from the rich Laodiceans. They think we don't have nothing, but we got Christ crucified, and that's all we got. Well, that's enough. But Christ is saying, hey, you got more things. Put on these things. I want us to look. That letter that Paul wrote them, more than likely they copied. Like our Christian brothers do in North Korea or in China. And then they would take a copy of that and they would give it to somebody else. And they'd give it to somebody else. And they'd give it to somebody else. And they'd read somebody else's copy. And before long, you know what happened? The church outgrew its infancy and we have this. But until then, they had a letter from Paul. You know what's real cool? If you look here in Colossians, this is a quick little study. If you go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 1, and you don't have to go there. I'm going to do it for sake. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, verse 2, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, Lord Jesus Christ. If you read that to the church of Colossae, you know what's going to happen? You're going to say, that's a letter from Paul, because that's the way he writes. If you go to Ephesians, well, you can go to Ephesians, you know what it's going to say? Paul, a servant of Christ, to the brethren, grace be unto you, Jesus Christ, Son of God. I mean, every letter that Paul wrote to every church is going to start out the same way. They know that is Paul, the apostle. Paul took his ambassadorship seriously. His ambassadorship spread out to all these others, Matthew 28, the Great Commission, and that went to others, and that went to others, and in this church, and this church, people are talking, and all of a sudden they exchange letters, and you know what? Paul's teaching me how to live. Hey, Paul taught me about love in 1 Corinthians 13, and that's what we got to put together. That's what Paul's talking about. This thing is being knit together, and it's becoming a beautiful fabric. And the world is going to see that fabric in a coat that you put on every day, your spiritual body. Not the coat that we put on our flesh, but we're going to see it in our spiritual walk. Those words are going to form a fabric of how a Christian needs to look. And that Christian in Colossae is going to look just like the Christian in Ephesus. And that church, that Christian in Ephesus is going to look just like the Christian in Madisonville, Kentucky. If we take those words, renew our lives every day, put on those things that God wants us to put on. Let the verse 15, chapter 3, Colossians. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. And let's go a little further. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. How? In psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know, if I'm talking about Brother Bradley, then I'm directing something toward him. Backbiting, gossiping, that type of stuff. You see, I mean, that's not what this says we're to do. We're to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. If I see my brother fall, if I see something happen, I'm not to go say, "Hey, look at him." You know, I heard one of the song on the radio the other day said, "Pouring salt in my sugar doesn't make yours any sweeter." Was the way the song went. And I thought, well, that's pretty neat. But that's the way thing is. We'll pour salt in somebody else's sugar to say, look how sweet I am. You know, look at Brother Bradley. The old dog stole $20 on my billfold. What do you think about that? Well, you know, but you see, make me look like I'm not a thief. when in fact I know who Larry Jones is. You know, Bible says we stand at we look in the mirror and then we turn around, we forget what sort of man we are. You know, I think I'm something until I look at me and I realize I'm nothing. But where I'm coming from, I'm jumping tracks a little bit, but what I'm getting at is the peace of God. If I don't worry about the turmoil of the world and I just worry about what the King wants me to do. Yeah, there's stuff going on in Washington. Boy, I tell you what, right now if you want to make some people mad, start talking politics. Boy, I mean, fire them up, man. If you don't want to do that, let's talk sports. Boy, we can fire them up talking basketball, can't we? Or football, or whatever it is. Or I tell you what, we can go out here, we can beat a dog, or go to a dog fight or a chicken fight, which I've always wanted to go to a chicken fight. I can't help that, but anyway. I just love watching chickens. I kicked a little rooster one time, I bet you 20 feet. That was the funnest thing I've ever done. I've been wanting to. Anyway, long story short, if we will worry about the things that, if we'll worry about the King and what the King wants us to do in our ambassadorship, the peace of God. I talked to a guy the other day. He had a picture of Mount Ararat on his truck up at Walmart. I don't know if y'all was up there at Walmart yesterday. The big. I love tractor trailers and all this. And he's got this big picture on his sleeper of Mount Ararat. And he just happened to be standing there outside his truck. And I said, I like that. He said, do you know about Mount Ararat? I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, I'm Armenian. I said, are you a Muslim or are you a Christian? He said, I'm a Christian. He said, we were one of the first Christians. He said, we were kicked out of that country. The Muslims run us off because we had to either leave or die if we didn't become Muslims. So we're Armenian. And then I got to share a little bit with him about that, my study. Remember me telling you on the generations from Adam to Noah? Do y'all know about all those? Everybody know that? That Adam, if you take all the names, for those of you who hadn't been there, from Adam to Noah is 10 generations. You take those 10 names and take their meaning, and they make up a sentence. And he said, really? I said, yeah. And I said, the sentence is, man is appointed mortal sorrows, but the blessed God shall come down teaching, his death shall bring the despairing rest. So the gospel is in their names. It all rested on Mount Ararat. So he said, I didn't know that. I said, well, there you go. But see, what I'm getting at is, let's worry about what He has for us. Let's not worry about the things. Let's just worry about the peace of God. I jumped my track and I'm getting back on. Main thing is, He was talking about how His people were done wrong, how that one day their hearts were to have Mount Ararat back. And I said, yes, brother. I said, but don't fret now. I said, the Muslims, yes, they've grown powerful. They're going to grow more powerful. But King Jesus will come back one day, and He will fix it. You know, the whole world can go to the utmost of turmoil. I mean, complete and utter chaos. It's going to, because the tribulation's coming. And we're seeing pre-tribulation now, and we can worry ourselves to death over it. But you know what? Jesus is going to fix it. He's going to fix it. I was up at the rest home last Sunday doing the services. I'm sitting there looking at them little old men and breaking my heart. Thursday night, I got to do them again. And it's like, go up there and look at them people. I'm sitting there thinking, you know, in the flesh, what hope? What hope do they have? I told Teresa, I said, Teresa, you've got to go through your surgery tomorrow. I said, you've got to get that done. You've got to fight this old age. I said, because your next step is a rest home. And it is. We're one brain cell away from, you know, it's not pretty. But there's a hope beyond that. Because Jesus is going to fix it. Dwell on those things. Well, you got nothing else. Know that you have everything. Let the peace of God dwell in your life. Because the world
will do everything it can to take that away. Brother Bradley closes up.